Og her kommer den anden radios filmprogram, Filmnoter.
Velkommen til Filmnoter og sidste afsnit i serien om finsk film. Programmet præsenteres i samarbejde med det finske kulturinstitut i København og produceres af undertegnet. Mit navn er Morten Weigold Just. I dag skal det handle om nyere finsk film. I sidste uge tog jeg til Helsinki for at tale med Kalle Kinnunen, der er journalist og ekspert i nyere finsk film. Han fortalte mig på engelsk, at der i de senere år er sket noget nyt i finsk film. Noget globalt, vildt og underholdende, som publikum elsker. En finsk nybølge, kalder han tendensen. Men hvad vil den almindelige dansker svare, hvis jeg stiller spørgsmålet, hvad er moderne finsk film? Det indledte jeg med at spørge Kalle Kinnunen om.
I guess Aki Kaurismäki is the only director that is widely known outside of Finland. He has been making films since the 80s, and his popularity actually began outside of Finland, in France and Europe, and slowly he became a household name in Finland as well. Apart from Kaurismäki, it's quite clear that there are no other Finnish filmmakers who would be really known worldwide. But lately, in the last 10 or 15 years, there has been a new interest among Finnish filmmakers to make films that actually do travel. And in the last about 5 years or even less, there have been some really major successes. So maybe some Danish viewers went to see Rare Exports, for example, which I think was released in Denmark. And there's also Iron Sky, which has been released in at least 30 countries around the world. The thing about Iron Sky is that this Nazi science fiction film was made in English and mostly with German actors. So you might not recognize it as a Finnish film when you see it.
In the north, Danish and Swedish films have always been the biggest in the class, you could say, and Finnish film has always been the smallest one. Why is that?
I think that the geographical location of Finland has also affected our cultural life in quite an enormous way. We do have composers like Sibelius and maybe some people know that J.R.R. Tolkien took a lot of Kalevala, our national epic, for The Lord of the Rings and his sagas, but mostly our culture has been made nationally. That's how the films were made in the early decades of Finnish cinema. Those Finnish films were super popular in Finland back then, and a really popular Finnish film was seen by almost 1 million Finns, so one out of four Finns would go see a very, very popular Finnish film back then, but there was very few of them would be seen at all outside of Finland. And the first films to go, for example, to the Cannes Festival from Finland would be in the 50s, The White Reindeer, which is considered a classic now and is probably one of the best Finnish films ever made, did get the recognition at Cannes. But after the Finnish studio system died in the 60s, when television came and people would stay home instead of going to the movies, the number of films being made went lower and lower, right at the time when there were some really interesting new filmmakers who could have made careers that would have been seen also outside of our country. So, and in the 70s, Finnish film went really totally belly up. It was, in some years, there was only two Finnish films released in the country, and not even Finns went to see them. So there was this big big drop, which lasted until the 90s or even in the last decade.
So what happened then? You say, and then the 90s came. So you differ. There's like a new era there.
Even the Finnish audience's belief in Finnish films really died, and the new generation that came out from film school in the 90s was doing stuff in a totally different way than it was done before. Up until the 90s, for example, at the Finnish film school, they wouldn't educate producers at all. So the whole concept of professional film production is in a way invention in Finland of the 90s, and that's the films made in late 90s would be the first ones that won the audience back, and that was made by simply updating the look and the feel of the films. And for example, Restless, which came out in 2000 and was a major hit even with younger people, was a film about young urban guys and girls having sex, mostly drama, moralistic drama, but with a lot of nudity. And films like that, they totally changed how Finnish film was seen in Finland. And the makers, the filmmakers who came out of the film school at that time would later be making films that would be at least contending foreign festival slots. For example, the director of Restless, Aku Louhimies, he's done almost 10 feature films, and he's on the verge of an international break, but we're still waiting for that to happen.
What happened? Were there any new policies, or were there just new talented people from the film school? Or what was the reason for this? I know you call it a new wave in Finnish film.
The reason for this new wave was probably a mix of new policies at the film school, but also certainly a new way of thinking about film. So for a long time, the problem had been that films were made basically by people who didn't even think that they would get an audience. So it kind of degenerated into filmmakers making films for other filmmakers. And back then in the 80s, you would probably, if you ran out of money and you were an established filmmaker, you would just go back to the Finnish Film Foundation and ask for more money, and they would give it to you to finish your film. And this new, more professional approach and this willingness to think of the audience and this willingness to make films for the audience and different kind of audiences was the key to the new success. And everything really changed really fast, because in 1999 there were suddenly, after a break of almost 20 years, there were actually three popular, really popular Finnish films at the same time in the top 10. Three Finnish films, which is compared to just a couple of years before, there would be a whole year of basically no Finnish new releases at all. So in 1999, there was a film called The Ambush, a war film. War films have always been popular since the 80s, or actually since the 50s. Somehow the war experiences are somehow uniting factor for Finns. And in 1999, the other big film was called The Tough Ones, which was a rural drama about brothers living in the Ostrobotnia countryside, kind of a redneck comedy and action film, if you may. But it was certainly something that hadn't been done before. It was Hollywood ideas filtered for Finnish taste. And in the following years, the success of these films made room for more genres and a more optimistic look, I would say, because I guess one of the main reasons that Finnish films were not appreciated even by Finnish audiences in the 90s was that everybody thought that they were really gloomy, really dark, and quite boring. One of the big films, it was called Bad Boys, another rural action comedy based on some real events but dramatized quite freely, and it made about 620,000 admissions in Finland, which is an enormous number, and it made stars of all the actors in it. And all the marketing was done really well, which is also kind of a new thing that for a long time, I believe the artistic serious filmmakers thought of marketing as a necessary evil. And this company Solar Films, which has produced most of the big hits ever since, they really took marketing super seriously, and the marketing campaign was the value of the marketing campaign was probably around the same price as the budget of the film. So with these popular films, which were basically only for the national market and didn't travel at all, they built the new production system, which gave way for this new wave. And filmmakers like Dome Karukoski have since been making films that are not only popular in Finland, but do get some international recognition as well. For example, Karukoski's film Lapland Odyssey actually got a relatively wide release in France, which is pretty good because it's a comedy, most of all, and comedies generally don't travel that well.
It sounds like you've been on a journey from very a local focus, and maybe with now new inspiration from more a global film scene, and do I dare to say American film scene?
I think this the more popular films of the last 10 years, they've been of a really delightful variety of genres. So there have been, I guess 2010 was one of these amazing years, because there was the Lapland Odyssey, which was mostly for young audiences, a comedy, but pretty clever. Then there was Rare Exports, which became a hit, even though it was the first fantasy genre film that was made for adults. So people definitely didn't believe that it could make 250,000 admissions. I actually interviewed some of the people at the distribution company prior to its release, and they were expecting less than 100,000, and actually probably would have been happy with 50,000 admissions. So that was really a breakthrough for making a totally new kind of film.
And then you mentioned it earlier, Iron Sky. This crazy future sci-fi film, it's in English, and it's about the plot is this crazy that some Nazis fled from the Second World War, and they hide it on the moon, and now they are back. Why did a film like Iron Sky became a Finnish production?
The whole story behind Iron Sky is what you would call Finnish craziness, I guess. There were guys, nerdy guys from this city of Tampere, who had been making their own Star Trek parodies called Star Wreck, producing them in their own bedrooms and doing special effects, which were becoming more and more possible to make with your own computer if you were an engineer and a computer nerd. And they had this dream of making a proper professional production, and this producer Tero Kaukoma, who had been a producer on The Jade Warrior, which was a Finnish-Chinese co-production, a kung fu action adventure partially based on our national epic Kalevala. This guy Kaukoma saw that there could be something in this concept that the Star Wreck guys had, and they started to build it. And the thing that Kaukoma apparently learned with the Jade Warrior was that there is a market for crazy stuff if you do it well and you market it well, and it doesn't matter where you come from. And anyway, most large scale films nowadays are not necessarily shot in the countries where they are produced. So Kaukoma, who still was producing films on the side, drama films, the kind of films that you're supposed to do in Finland, started to go to festivals with Timo Vuorensola, who would become the director of Iron Sky, and these other guys involved in the project, and they were raising awareness of it and finding co-production companies and selling the film from as early as 2007, and it became an eight million euro epic shot in Australia and Germany with a mostly German cast, with music by Laibach. And when it opened in Berlin, the Berlin Film Festival in 2012, it was really a major international success and really newsworthy thing. The film is really notable for the special effects, which are really on par with a relatively large Hollywood thing. Not made on a shoestring budget, but certainly so much cheaper than what Hollywood would spend on something like that. And the whole idea of having Nazis on the moon was obviously a reason for every newspaper around the world to write about it, because films with ideas, with concepts like that, are usually really low budget, straight to DVD stuff. And this was a proper film with a real script, with some Dr. Strangelove overtones. And no matter if you thought the film was good or if it was just okay, it was interesting nonetheless.
And they did something new with the funding. They asked the audience. Yeah.
When you mention Iron Sky, it's obvious that one of the things that makes it so special is crowdfunding, which had never been done on such a scale before. So that was the first. They basically had this fan base on the internet, which the guys had been building up with their Star Wreck films already, which came out years before. But there was this following, and they realized that they could use their fans not only for getting new ideas or rating their own ideas, but for funding. You could buy, they called them war bonds. They had this really nice website, and you could be part of the production. And they collected around 10% of the final budget by this, which is not a lot of money, but it's still quite unusual, because no other films really have been able to do this since. And now that they're making Iron Sky 2, which is actually going to be budgeted at almost twice as much as the first one was, which is a lot of money. I mean, it makes it one of the bigger, really bigger European productions of whichever year it comes out on. They're really planning to get as much as half of the budget by crowdfunding. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's really ambitious. It also tells that the fan base is really devoted to the project, and they really trust these guys to make the kind of a film that they want to see.
Yeah, I read about the second Iron Sky funding process, that if I paid like $5,000, I could be eaten by a dinosaur on the film. So it's like you told with this thing about the new way of looking on marketing, that you also see it as a possibility and not just a necessary evil.
The crowdfunding thing is it's a kind of a mixture of funding and marketing, because now with Iron Sky 2 being still in pre-production, they're getting great, enormous, quite enormous publicity already by announcing when they have a crowdfunding campaign and then announcing how well it worked. So this is something that the producer, I think, has said himself, that that it's a mix of these two things, and having something like selling fans the possibility to appear in the film in a way or another is it's a way to keep people excited about the film for a long, long time, even though the production might take another year or two. If you give the fans something all the way through, it will probably work out.
So back to my first question, Kalle, when we meet again in 10 years, and I have asked Dane Finnish films, what will he say then?
I believe that Dome Karukoski, the director of Lapland Odyssey, who is now planning to make a film about one of our national icons, well, icon or not, certainly one of the most known Finns, who is Tom of Finland, the gay artist. I believe Dome will be making large-scale films, maybe in Finland, maybe in the US. Jalmari Helander, who directed Rare Exports and Big Game, is certainly going to make even bigger films. He loves action and adventure films. He loves Spielberg. He wants to be the Finnish Spielberg, and I think he's already quite close. He will be making films, and again, no idea if it will be in Europe or the US. The guy who produced Rare Exports and Big Game, Petri Jokiranta, is certainly also going to make big films from now on. No idea if he'll be making them with his director Helander or with somebody else, but he's the guy who brought Samuel Jackson to Finland, so I'm sure that he will not settle for less next time. And there are many, many others, for example, Jukka-Pekka Valkeapää, who's both films so far, The Visitor and They Have Escaped, have both played at the Venice Festival. I'm sure that he will make his big international film, probably within Europe, probably something very personal and unusual. Just a matter of time that when one of these guys will make a break to the big competition at the Cannes Festival or something like that, which is something that Danes and Swedes have been able to accomplish many times in the last decades, and we have had only one can competitor when Aki Kaurismäki's A Man Without the Past played in Cannes and later got the Oscar nomination for Best Foreign Film. The films that we are seeing now are so diverse. For example, this Luokkakokous, which is now one of the biggest hits in cinemas, is a remake of the Danish film Klassfesten. A lowbrow comedy, not necessarily a very good film, but enormously popular and certainly telling the audiences that Finnish films can be like this. Very bad taste and naughty and something that we just haven't seen really before.
Det var de finske noter. De blev produceret af mig. Mit navn er Morten Dahlgaard Just. Kontakt redaktionen på facebook.com/filmnoter. På genhør.
I kan også se mere om filmnoter på Den Anden Radios hjemmeside, den2radio.dk.